She had given up. Oh, she had prayed for years. Oh, many years. She had prayed that her womb would open, but that was long ago. She was an old woman now. I'm sure day after day, as she saw a little child birthed in her village, she dreamed of what it would have been like to hold and caress a child of her own. She wondered why the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, didn't hear her prayer. She was a good woman. She was of the line of Aaron. She came from the line of the priest. She was even married to a priest. Why was the God of the universe not answering her prayer? She asked herself over and over again, why am I barren? Why can I not conceive? I'm sure every time she saw a child laughing, she wondered why it wasn't hers. Year after year after year, she asked, she begged, she cried, she doubted. Does God even hear? She had given up hope of a child. She had found other things in her life to fulfill her longing, like many of us do when we don't feel God comes through. We replace that with something to make us breathe and laugh and live again. Elizabeth was just like that. She had given up hope, for her womb was dead. She was old and she was barren. One day, her husband, Zechariah, went to the priest to the temple as he did when his tribe was called. You see, there was a priestly tribe, and when his was called to the temple, he too went. This particular time, it was different, though, because when they cast lots for the priest that would go in to light the incense, his name was called. Zechariah made himself way into the temple, and as he went in, he began to pray and intercede for the people outside. You see, he was the priest, and his job was to pray for those. I wondered often when he prayed if he said, God, do you even hear? God, do you even hear? I've prayed often for a child. God, I am a priest and I pray often. But there was intercession made for the people, for he was the priest. And as he prayed over and over and over again, he sat and he waited. But this day was different. For you see, the angel Gabriel came to him. Gabriel came up behind him and he looked at him standing in front of Zechariah and he said, Zechariah, from the day you prayed, God heard. I have come. I have given you now the answer to your prayer, for your wife Elizabeth will conceive a child. Zechariah turning to Gabriel, the one who stands in the presence of the Most High God, and he said, don't taunt me, Gabriel. My wife's womb is dead. How can she conceive a child? For she is of age. Gabriel said, I have come from the presence of Almighty God, and I say it is so. Your wife will conceive. But because you doubted me, you will not speak another word until you give birth to the child. His name will be John. He will be of a Nazarite vow. You will not cut his hair, and he will not drink wine, for he will be the Holy One that will come before the Messiah. I'm sure Zechariah, like you and I, when Holy Spirit begins to speak and stir in our heart, had questions. But all he could do was sit in the presence of this Holy One that brought a word of prophecy to him. It was interesting because the Bible tells us in the story, as he's made his way out, everyone could tell that he had been with God. Something showed in his face. He could not speak, and the people said he must have had a vision in the temple from God, for he came out different. You see, when Almighty God comes to you and he speaks to your spirit, you are different. He had to fulfill the last of his week, and when he went home to his wife, I can only imagine, as he took the lover of his soul, the woman he had been with so many times, year in and year out, day in and day out, and he brought her into himself. Old and barren, the two became one, and she conceived. She conceived a child just like Gabriel said she would. Oh, she was old, and what seemed to be dead, what seemed to be given up, the cry of her heart year after year after year after year was now coming alive, for something was growing in her womb as she was with age. The Bible is clear to tell us that she hid herself away for 5 months. But she got a knock on the door one day. Her little cousin named Mary came knocking on her door. You see, that same angel that was sent from God in the presence of Almighty Gabriel made his way to another virgin. Her name was Mary. He went to Mary and again told her she would conceive. This was Elizabeth's little cousin. The Bible tells us that when Mary made her way to Elizabeth's home, that they sat together, Elizabeth old and barren and given up on her prayers, and Mary a young, probably 14-year-old. They had both been visited by this angel, by the presence of Almighty God, and both had conceived. The beautiful part of the story is the Bible tells us that John was the forerunner of Jesus. He was the one that Jesus called the Most High One, John. It's interesting because the Bible tells us that this angel said to Zechariah, you will name him John. All of this knowing because he had had this encounter in the temple. After going home to Elizabeth and writing on a piece of paper, we will name him John. When Elizabeth, it was time for her to give birth, she gave birth and she had a son. It's interesting, the Bible tells us that they made their way back to the temple 8 days later to circumcise the boy. And everyone came and they said, what will his name be? Will it be Zechariah like his father? Zechariah still could not speak because the prophecy was, you will not speak until the son is born, but you will name him John. Asking for a piece of paper, the people came and he wrote down, his name shall be John. The moment he did what was obedient to what the angel said, it says his mouth was open and he was able to speak. He was able to decree and declare. He was able to say, that which was dead in my wife's womb is now alive. Something happened in Zechariah. We find in Luke 1 this beautiful song of Zechariah where he begins to sing and proclaim about Almighty God. You cannot tell me that when this woman held that little baby skin to skin, and we don't know how old she was other than she was barren, that all of the years that she had asked God to come through and he had not come through, don't tell me at that moment that she held that infant, that miracle baby, next to her skin as she nursed that little boy, that she didn't cry out, God, why didn't I believe? God, why did I give up? God, why didn't I trust you? I'm sure there was probably confession in her heart that, God, you were working all along. It just wasn't on my timetable. There was something so beautiful and so intimate about the moment that Elizabeth had with John. I'm sure she basked in the beauty of holding that infant, that miracle, next to her breast. As I read this story, I think of how many times I've given up. How many times I've asked God for something and then I just labored too long. How many times I said, God, I don't know if you even hear me. And God, I don't even know if you'll come through. It is later in life when it's worth the wait that Holy Spirit says to me, baby girl, what you didn't understand, it was the journey of me getting you ready for the answer. See, you asked me for this and I said, okay, but the time wasn't right because you weren't ready. You see, there is no greater gift than to be able to give birth to a child like John. John the Baptist. John, we call him the Dipper. The word in the original language means dipper. He was the forerunner of Jesus himself. There was no one greater before Jesus than John the Baptist. They say he was like that of Elijah. Can you imagine as a woman giving birth to someone like John the Baptist? If God had said to her, just wait, it's coming. Just wait, it's coming. But God was silent. My question to you is, what do you do in the silence? What do you do when God says nothing? What do you do when you're asking God to come through in a marriage or with a child or with a job or with finances or with pain or with health and you don't hear God speak? Do you stop? Do you stop asking? Do you stop talking? Do you stop communing? Do you stop believing? What if God says, don't quit? It'll be worth the wait. I am working in you to prepare you for the answer. You're just not ready yet. As I worked on this message and read over and over this passage in Luke 1, I am convinced here more than ever that God said, I have been preparing you for 39 years of ministry for this, for 39 years for this. What God did in Ashley's life and putting her and promoting her to a place of a producer in Hollywood was to say, I'm preparing you with the money of Hollywood to put you in Hollywood. I'm going to bring you here. I'm going to put you with a group of women who love me, and you're going to be producing content for me, but I've got to give you a free education first. All those years that she cried, and believe me, there were many. There were so many, she was on my couch crying, Tammy, I hate it. You have no idea what this industry's like. You have no idea. And all I could say is God's doing something. Whether it was a husband I waited for with her, a baby I waited with her, a boyfriend with a car. I remember she said to me one day, she goes, I just want a boyfriend with a car. You know, back in the day when she first started in Hollywood, God was preparing her. God was working because he says, I got something for you. Ashley, don't give up. Don't give up. I'm going to prepare you for the thing I've called you for. You see, God's preparing you. What happens is we have this little thing we want God to do. And we say, God, do this. And he says, I got something much better. I've got something much more. You see, Tammy, I've been preparing you for this. You see, if you look at it, Pastor Phil and I have been in larger churches, big opportunities. I've been on big platforms, but I've never had the opportunity to start something from scratch and pour into women like we're doing here. You don't think he had to crush me and prepare me? And I've said this before, many of you have heard me. There were so many Sundays that Pastor Phil and I went home. We sat on the couch just crying, saying, oh God, we can't do this anymore. And God says, don't you give up. Don't you give up. I'm preparing you. See, my job, I'm going to give you a quick little word. I was just sharing with our leaders that someone gave me a prophetic word about a year and a half ago. And they said, Tammy, I see you right here. And I see all these people following. And every time you take a step, they're right here behind you. They're right here behind you. They're right here behind you. And last week when I was in my prayer time, I said, God, what does that picture mean? What does that mean? And literally immediately he says, they're close enough to you that you can hand off the baton. They're close enough to you that you can hand off the baton. My greatest goal in life is to equip you to do the work that God's called you to do, to believe in you to do that. I believe what he was doing with Elizabeth, he was preparing her. He had to wait until her womb was dead, so it was nobody but God that got the glory. Amen. God has to wait until he gets all of you out of you, so there's all of him in you. And what happens is so often we think we have gifts and skills and talents and abilities, and God says, I gave you those, and when you release those to me, I'll be ready to use them in you. But we come with our skill. We come with our agenda. We come with our request. We come with what we want God to do. And then we have to say, God, I stop. Let me ask you, what's dead in your life right now? Is your marriage dead? Is your relationship with your kids dead? Are your finances dead? What does God need to resurrect in your womb? What does God need to do in you? Let me ask you, what are you believing God? Are you pushing through? Are you persevering? Are you holding fast, steadfast? Guys, there's so many times when I'm in my prayer room at home, God gives me visions, and I keep looking at it and saying 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 it, and I'm still saying it. I'm not seeing everything I'm saying yet. I'm starting to see things I've been saying, but I'm going to see more of what I've been saying. Does that make sense to you? You want a good marriage? Start speaking life over your marriage. You want a good relationship with your kids? Start speaking life. Tell God what you got, not what you don't have. Start calling out what you want to see. Call your kids warriors. Call your kids good. We were just with our kids this week. There's nothing better than going down to be with my kids. And I'm sitting there with my son, Josh, who's preached here often. He's getting old. I just realized that. And he looked at me, and he looked at his daddy and I, and he goes, and he's done very well. And he looked and he said, the one thing I can say about you two is you told us always what we could do. I'm doing today what people probably would say I don't have the skill to do because you and Daddy believed we could do it. I spoke life into my kids. Think they can do anything. I spoke life into my kids. See, that's what happens. I believe God came and he spoke life into Elizabeth. He spoke life into her. Let me ask you, what do you need to hold in your arms? It might be you just need to write it on a piece of paper and hold in a relationship with a kid. Hold it close. Your womb's dead. You haven't seen it. Your dream. Some of you are saying, I'm too old, Tammy. You aren't as old as Elizabeth. Elizabeth was old, the Bible says. It says she was old. I think it says it three times. She was old. You know, God's got stuff he wants to resurrect in you. God's got dreams and passions and desires and abilities. God wants to resurrect your womb. It'll be worth the wait. It will totally be worth the wait. When this week was so great. We had a conference. We had our prophetic conference. This place was filled. We were praising and we were worshiping. I sat right there as I looked around with this place full of people. And I said, it's worth the wait. It's worth the 4 years. Where I am as a person today, it's worth the wait. I have tasted and touched and experienced a supernatural God that I knew not of 4 years ago. I intellectually knew about God. I have supernaturally experienced God. I can tell you it's worth the wait. I want to go over a couple notes with you that I think will be beneficial to you if you grab that piece of paper next to you. And I want to talk about a couple life applications with you. Now, guys, what we want to do is we want you to get real and raw with God. We don't want you to ever come here and don't feel that you can't question where you are. As a coach, I'm always going to challenge you and push you, and I'm going to always be the positive one. But it doesn't mean you can't come to me and say, this isn't fair and I don't understand. I've done that to God a lot. And usually he's silent. Usually he's silent. Because he's more concerned about me pushing into him, pressing into him. And where I meet him is in the wait. Where I meet him is always in the wait. The answer's coming, but my relationship builds in the wait. The foundation gets strong in the wait. My faith increases in the wait. My love for him grows in the wait. So don't ever fear asking God why. Don't be afraid to ask God if. He's a big God, and he wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to relate to him. I believe just because you love God doesn't mean you won't have heartache. Elizabeth loved God. She was of the priesthood of Aaron. Her husband was a high priest. She was a good woman, but she had heartache. And the quicker I learn that just because I love God doesn't mean I'm not going to have heartache. Because it's when my heart aches that I turn to him. It's when my heart hurts that I press in and push in. It's when my heart hurts that I cry out. God loves it when we press in and push in. Don't think something's wrong with me because I'm going through a hard time. It might be right where God wants you. It may be the very place he wants you because he loves you. He loves you. In the intimacy of my times when I'm in my prayer room and I'm crying out over a child, I'm crying over a ministry, I'm crying out over my health, he's there. You're not there. He's there. He's communing and he's talking. And even in the silence, he speaks. Do you know that? See, he speaks with a still, small voice when I'm in the deepest, darkest place. And he reminds me that he is God and he loves me. Don't think just because you're a good person that you're not going to have heartache. When we align ourselves with people of prayer, we see God move. The Bible tells us that Zechariah went in to pray and all the people were out here praying. Now, hear what was really interesting. Listen to this. He cast lots and his name was drawn. I believe this was a divine time in the lineup of the universe that God said, I'm going to wait until you've prayed and you've prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and then you're done. And I'm sure just like you and I, the prayer probably waned a little less and a little less and a little less until she finally thought there is no longer hope. And then Jesus said, I am hope. I am the resurrection and the life, is what Jesus said. You see, what happens was you got to surround yourself with people who pray and people who believe. Let me tell you, I've been in ministry long enough that this is the cycle, guys, for most of us. We get on the mountain, and then after a while, we grow weary, and we get on the mountain, and we grow weary. And this is our kind of walk with God. I want to encourage you, and I want to raise up an army to walk along with me that perseveres and takes the hill and perseveres and takes the hill and perseveres and takes the hill. I believe there's so much more of God. I said something this week, and I believe it's so true. When Holy Spirit wakes me up in the middle of the night, and I get up and I go into my prayer room, or I go down to my chair and I begin to pray, I sense an intimacy with the Holy Spirit like I don't have any other time. Now follow me. When I don't listen and obey when he prompts me to go pray, there's no judgment, there's no ridicule, there's no guilt, there's just a missed blessing. Do you hear me? When he prompts you to speak, to talk, to walk, to act, there's something he's doing to build your faith. And what I love about, I never feel guilty from God, ever. If you feel guilt, it's from the enemy, it's from Satan, it's from the enemy telling you you're no good. God never brings guilt, he brings love. But I miss opportunities with him when I'm not obedient. So as I've been pushing through and pushing through and pushing through, and all the times where I'm like, this isn't going to work, nobody's going to show up. You know, let me just, man, I'm honest with you guys. There were times Pastor Phil would get a resume from a big church in the South over the last 4 years. And I'd look at him and I'd go, what do you think, baby? How much do they pay? Do I have to work so hard? And we'd look at each other and we'd go, God has us here. And there have been plenty of opportunities. And God said, do you believe I'm doing something here? You push through. You push through the doubt. You push through the confusion. You push through the pain. You push through the ridicule and you wait and see what I'm doing. I guarantee you, 5 years from today, when we are marching as women of influence, you're going to look at me and you're going to say, was it worth the wait? Was it worth the wait? Let me ask you, was it worth the wait? Was it worth the wait? God's working in your life. Anime, was it worth the wait to have a little boy with Downs? And God said, I'm going to give you a story that you would have never had to touch lives in a way you'd never be able to touch lives without the story. See, guys, in our story, we find his glory. It's our story that we get to glorify him in. And that's what happened with Zechariah and Elizabeth. See, I believe that God hears our prayers the moment we speak them. You know, as a little 13-year-old girl on a mission field in Haiti, and I said to God, God, use me. And he said, okay, I will, when you're 60. I'll just prepare you till you get there. Do you ever wonder about God's timing? Do you ever question his timing? He's working a work in you you would not believe if told. And I also believe that when God gives you a prophetic word, you're to believe him. You know when I began thinking about this? What if Zechariah had not gone home and drew in his wife Elizabeth? What would the prophetic word have meant? As I was walking this week, because as many of you know, if you were here, Sean Boltz gave us a prophetic word, and some of you here, he gave a prophetic word. I believe that you have to put feet and faith to a prophetic word. You have to put feet and faith. When you get a word from God, you get a word someone prays over you, there's something you do and there's something God does. If Zechariah hadn't gone home and gone into Elizabeth, she wouldn't have conceived because it was only one immaculate conception. And it wasn't Elizabeth. See, when God gives you a prophetic word, there's something you're to do with it. When God speaks to your heart and he stirs you and he's wooing you and he's giving you a dream or a vision, he gives you an opportunity, there's something you're to put feet to with your faith. The waiting period in our lives are meant to bring him glory. I love a couple verses here. God hears your prayer the moment you ask. Look what it says in that verse. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right hand of the altar of the incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But look what the angel said. Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. What are you praying for right now? What are you asking God for? What did you put on paper and you're looking for right now? I've got three specific things right now that I'm asking God for, and I'm not giving up on them, and I'm going to see them through. There's another verse, and I love this one in Daniel 9:23, and these are verses you guys need to write down, write over your prayer request, and believe them. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Daniel was told the minute you prayed, your prayer was heard. Prayer's already been heard. It's already been answered. You just don't see the fulfillment of it yet. I want to walk through this little coaching assignment with you, and I want you to take this because everyone in here, I'm going to ask your small group leaders to work with you on this week. I want to ask you this. Let's look at wait right here, worth the wait. If I ask you, W, what are you asking God for? What would you say you're specifically asking God for right now? Healing? A miracle? Finances? A broken marriage? Now go ahead, and it's going to be a surprise when we finish this. So you write down right there what you're asking God for. What are you asking God for? Write it down. But then I want to ask you, A, are you willing to accept God's plan for your life even if it looks different than you thought it would? See, Elizabeth asked for a child, but it looked different than she thought it would. She had to go barren a long time before God came through. My question to you is, are you willing, if God says it's going to look different than you think? Are you still willing? Are you willing to accept God's plan, even if it looks different? You know, some of us come to God with what we want, and God says, can I give you what I want? See, some of you may have your request answered. They just don't look like you think they should. Did you hear me? God maybe do something in your life because he cares more about you than answering what you're asking for. Is there something God's telling you to do before he can answer your request? Some of us keep on knocking on heaven's door with the same request, and God's saying there needs to be a little course correction here. There needs to be some changes in your life. I've been talking to you about this for a while. You keep asking me for this, but I'm not going to give you this because it's not this you want. You think if I get you out of trouble financially, you'll be happy. You think if I fix your marriage, you'll be happy. You think if your kid gets off drugs, you'll be happy. Do you realize it goes deeper than that? Sometimes God says there's something I need to do in you. It's not about giving you what you think you want. It's about working on you. Does that make sense? That God wants to work in you and on you because he loves you. And you think if you have these things you're asking for, you're going to be happy. And God says, I want to work with you. I want you to meet the person I've created you to be. There is so much ability in some of you that you've not tapped into because we want to take easy street. All right, now I'm going to preach to some of you right now. Some of you have this list of, if I had this, I'd be happy. God says, oh, no, you wouldn't. You would be unhappy with what I gave you. You'd still be unhappy because it's a core issue in you. It's a root issue in you. There's something in you that needs to be worked on. I believe there was a reason, and I don't have anything biblical to base this on, but I believe God waited to give Elizabeth that child because he was working on something on her. Because see, he could have given her other children, and then John the Baptist could have come later, right? When we get to glory, we may be able to ask. I believe Elizabeth needed to be worked on. I believe there was something, maybe it was impatience, maybe it was anger, maybe it was lack of faith, but God cared more about working on Elizabeth than he did about giving her the answer. Does that make sense? See, we don't always want to think that. We don't want to think it's about us. We want to think it's about everybody around us. Do you know God's more concerned about you than he is anyone else around you? Now, if we all believe that, that makes sense. Does that make sense? God just gets me aside and he says, baby, I know you want to do all this for me. I know you have all these dreams and goals and aspirations, but you know what? I just want to work on you. God of the universe knows me and loves me and wants to connect with me. T, trust. Do you trust that God is working on your behalf even when you can't see the evidence? I wouldn't have said this had I not experienced it a couple years ago. I love teaching, I love speaking, I love planning, I'm an entrepreneur, I love starting businesses, I love all this stuff. It's who I am. But something shifted when I started having intimate time with Holy Spirit. When I create a little prayer room or I go on my prayer walks, God started working stuff in me. People tell me all the time, Tammy, you've changed. And I think what's happened is I've changed because Holy Spirit hopefully has come in and he's been the change in me. Does that make sense? When he comes in, he starts to rearrange some stuff. And he goes, this belongs over here. And this belongs here. And this belongs here. That's what he does in our life. Do I trust that he's doing what he needs to do in me so I could do in my life for him what he's called me to do? It's worth the wait. What are you waiting for right now? What are you asking God for right now? What if he says, it's coming, but I'm preparing you for it? What would that look like? I want us to take a moment as just bow your heads right now. God, when I really think about what you're doing in our lives, I'm in awe of the fact that you love me, Tammy, and you are intimately acquainted with me, that you smile on me and that you champion me. And that you say, Tammy, you don't have to do anything for me to make me love you. Opportunities that come along and things you get to do in life are a manifestation of my love for you, but get it that I love you. Get it that when I say no or get it when I say wait, it's because I'm working on our relationship. And Father, I personally release any agenda I have to you. And I ask that you would just teach me how to be loved by you. Teach me how to love you back. Father, I pray in this room, there are a lot of women who I believe have deep desires in their heart that are from you. You placed in us, in our womb, every desire we have. But Father, it may look different than we think. And I pray that through this lesson on Zechariah, on Elizabeth, on the perfect timing of their child, John, Father, that you would teach us that your timing is perfect and that it is always worth the wait because you're working in us to prepare us for what you have. I pray that today, right now, women would press in. Holy Spirit, just let them press in right now to you. We're spiritual beings in a human body. That God, you want to activate your spirit in us. I pray that out of this room, Father, you would do a supernatural work that only you could do. That we would sit as you prepare us for whatever you called us to do, and we would be patient in the wait for what you have. Press into you. God, we thank you for what you're doing. Stir in your daughters tonight, God, what you have for us individually. In your name we pray. Amen.